Coming up on the Tuesday edition of Telling the Truth with Stuart and Jill Briscoe.
And so when your faith is in the right person and the right object and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life and the Word of God begins to happen to you on a daily basis, you will find all that you need. And you must go to everyone He sends you to. And you must say everything He tells you to. And you'll find that He will be all that He promises to be.
Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe continues her series, Faith Enough to Finish, and shares how God's Word can supply your needs on a daily basis. But first, we want to help you trust God and grow stronger in your faith through the difficult seasons of life by sending you Jill Briscoe's book, Faith Enough to Finish. It's our way to thank you for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience fullness of life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of Faith Enough to Finish when you give. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Jill Briscoe with part two of her message, His Plan for My Life.
I well remember standing in front of a huge group of refugees. I was over in Croatia at the height of the Bosnian-Croatian crisis. And at night, we would, after giving out clothes and registering everybody that was flooding across the border, at that point, about 1,000 refugees were coming over from Bosnia into Osijek, the border town between Croatia and Bosnia. And we would receive them and help them and give them clothes and food and shelter and register them. And then at night, in the great big church that stood on that border, Dr. Peter Kuzmich, who was in charge of the relief organization over there, he is a professor, he is a Christian man, a believing man, would speak to the refugees and he'd bring them into the church and they'd have a service and he'd try to minister Christ's comfort and help and encouragement and hope to them. And one night he couldn't do it and he said to me, I want you to talk to the refugees, Jill. Now, can you imagine? Here I am, a lay woman. I'm over there helping as best I can to alleviate some of the suffering, to put my little drop in the bucket. Because if everybody puts their drop in the bucket will one day get full. And so even though it was only a little tiny drop that I was able to do, I was there. But I was not expecting to talk to about 800 refugees. And my mind just went blank. And I felt very much like Jeremiah. Oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm a child. Now, I didn't feel I was a child. I felt I was totally inadequate because I'd never been a refugee. What right did I have to say anything to them? Well, I had no right. But God wanted to use me to speak to them. And I heard in that moment of time, because I was studying this material, I've put my words in your mouth. Don't be afraid. You must go to everyone I send you to and tell them everything I tell you to. Well, I got up in that pulpit and I said, if I ever need your words in my mouth, it's now, Lord. And he began to bring things to my mind that would be a help to those people. And I was super conscious, absolutely super conscious, that it was just as if my humanity was hanging on his divinity, which is what a Christian really is. He is within us. Christ by his Spirit lives within us, and he's clothed with our humanity. And he will, from within, bring things to our remembrance when we need them. And that's what he did for me. And he will do it. I'll put my words, he said, in your mouth. He was dwelling within me, and he helped me by his Spirit to say comforting, helpful things to those people. And you say, well, Jill, I'm never going to be up in front of 1,000 refugees. What has this to do with me? Well, back in the States, I remember facing some very, very disturbed young teenagers. Somebody they loved had just committed suicide. And they surrounded me, junior high kids. And they said to me, can you explain why good people do bad things or why bad things happen to good people? Or can you explain to me if this person who committed suicide because he'd done some terrible things, if he's in heaven? And I needed just as much wisdom and just as much help from the Christ who lives within me, that he would put his words in my mouth in that moment facing five junior high kids, as I needed standing up in front of all those hundreds of refugees. And maybe this brings it nearer to you. Do you ever face a teenager who says, "Why did you and Dad get divorced?" Do you need his words in your mouth? Yes, you do. Do you ever face a spouse and you're seeking to reconcile and it seems absolutely impossible? Do you ever need his words in your mouth? Yes, you do. And we go out into life, just ordinary life, and sometimes our dreams fall apart, just like they did Jeremiah. And what we need is a consciousness that his plan is in our life. Whatever happens to us, his work is in our hands, whatever circumstances pertain. And his words will be in our mouth for any given situation. Jeremiah needed the right word at the wrong times in his life. And he lived in wrong times. Everything happened to this man. And very seldom was he up in front of an entire crowd. It was the king or the leader or the high priest who was in apostasy or the people in his town or a little group here or a little group there or one man that he needed to encourage, like his amanuensis, or the king, the young king in the palace. These things are beyond us. But when we know God and he's in our heart and life, he promises. He says in the Psalms, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." And I have experienced that over and over again. And so when your faith is in the right person and the right object and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life and the Word of God begins to happen to you on a daily basis, you will find all that you need. And you must go to everyone he sends you to. And you must say everything he tells you to. And you'll find that he will be all that he promises to be. "I will put my words in your mouth," he says. So what's the secret of staying in touch? How did Jeremiah survive the torture he went through, the ridicule he went through? At one point they put him in stocks. It's where you get the word laughing stocks. Everybody came by and laughed, ha, ha, ha. Here was Jeremiah with his ankles held in the stocks, sitting in a busy marketplace, and everybody had to step over him, laugh at him. He had terrible things happen to him. So how did he have faith enough to get up and go on? How did he have faith enough to finish? And when I got to chapter 17, I found his heart. I found his secret. He's teaching, and he talks about a little tree and a little bush. And what he's doing is using a parable. A parable is a little story that has a heavenly meaning. And let me just read it to you quickly. "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He won't see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." So he's bringing this little picture to us in his parable. It's a little tiny scrub bush. It's all shriveled up. It's brittle. And the reason is there's no water. It doesn't have any roots. It's rootless and it's fruitless. And it's in the big sun and it's sitting on salt flats and it's just shimmering with heat. And it's miserable. You would be and I would be if I was this little scrub bush. And then he tells us why. And he uses it as a picture of spirituality. He says, you can be like a little scrub bush. You can be all shriveled up and brittle because you don't have any roots. And if you did, there's no water to put them in. You're just on the salt flats and you're in the heat and the heat's on. Maybe the heat's on in your life. Now he gives us reasons. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. If we trust in our wife, our children, our boss, our job, our own abilities, we're trusting in man. We're not trusting in God. We're not having confidence in God. And that means you'll shrivel up and die eventually. Who depends on flesh for his strength, and flesh means self. If you're a self-made woman or a self-made man and you think, I've got it, I can do this. I can do this without any help. Thank you very much. God helps those who help themselves. Isn't that in the Bible? No, actually it isn't. Don't know who started that rumor. But I tell you something, if you trust in your own self-effort, you'll end up like the little scrub bush and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Maybe you believed in God. Maybe you went to Sunday school. Maybe your parents brought you up to really believe in the Lord, and something happened. Maybe you got disappointed with church, or some Christians didn't act the way that they should have acted, and you got disillusioned, and your heart turned away from the Lord. You got people and God mixed up. You got God and life mixed up. It wasn't disillusionment with God, actually. It was disillusionment with those people, wasn't it? But you got the thing mixed up, and so you became like a little scrub bush on the salt flats. Maybe that describes you. But listen to this, and here's where the parable changes. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the streams that puts out its roots into the water. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What a picture of two people, one like a little scrub bush and the other like a tree with its leaves evergreen and its roots in the river. Are your roots in the river?
Do you have faith in the power of God's Word in your life? That's what Jill Briscoe is talking about on today's Telling the Truth, and she's coming right back with more. Did you know that at the all-new TellingTheTruth.org website, it's easier than ever to listen, read, watch, download, and share messages from the Briscoes? Go deeper than ever before with relevant Bible teaching to help you know Christ and experience life in all its fullness. Visit TellingTheTruth.org today. And remember, you can also give there to help keep the teaching you love on air and online. Again, it's TellingTheTruth.org, TellingTheTruth.org. Here's Jill Briscoe once again.
Water and the river are wonderful pictures in the Bible. They're pictures of the Spirit of God. Water is used as a symbol of the Spirit of God. And here's the picture of the river of God flowing from the throne of God. Other people saw this vision, this picture that Jeremiah puts into his little parable. John the Apostle in the book of Revelation saw the river coming out of the throne of God and the trees on each side with their branches laden with fruit and their leaves evergreen and their leaves with the healing of the nations. Ezekiel saw the same picture. Symbols of power and refreshment, the water of life. And so the secret of this man, Jeremiah, the man who had faith enough to finish against all odds, and maybe that's what you need, you're looking for faith enough to finish against all odds. His secret was having his roots in the river of God, in the Spirit of God. The tree put out its roots by the stream. You and I have to put out our roots into that stream. That's our job. God's job is to let the water of life, the Spirit of life, fill the tree and refresh us, no matter how hot it is. Did you notice that? It never fears when the heat comes. Shine on! Heat, sun, same sun that is shriveling up the little scrub bush is falling on the tree. But the tree isn't shriveling because its roots are in the river. You've got to stay connected. Got to put your roots down into the Spirit of God. You've got to let the Word of God happen to you. And as that happens to you, then fruit will appear on your life. Fruit is another symbol. We read in the New Testament the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, self-control. These are fruits or evidences of the inner life of Christ. He was all these things. And so if our lives are going to be fruitful and our leaves are going to be evergreen and for the healing of the nations, people need to come to our lives, to your life and to mine. And they need to find refreshment. They need to find nourishment. They need to be able to pluck the fruit of our lives and find themselves comforted, find themselves helped. Our words need to bring healing and help to a hurt family or to a hurt family member or to a hurt friend. And they need to come to our life and find healing. Is that right? Does it happen? Even when the heat's on, even though, as it says here, you're in a year of drought, it says this tree has no worries in a year of drought. Absolutely no worries in a year of drought. Isn't that something? Have you had a year of drought? Maybe you've had a year of drought because your job dried up, or a relationship dried up, or your hopes and dreams dried up. You've had a year of drought. You say, yes, Jill, I've had a year of drought. I'm in trouble. I'm in debt. I've had a year of drought in my bank balance. Well, you know, if your roots are in the river, you won't have any worries. You won't have any fears, because your life will still be fresh and you'll still be producing the things that really matter. And in the end, the best things in life are free. The best things in life are character and peace and joy and goodness and kindness and self-control. And so that's the heart of the man. That's the heart of Jeremiah. And that's why, as he goes around from one disaster to another, he is fine, because inside he's together, even though outside everything's falling apart. And that's the Christian life. The water of life spoken about in the Old Testament flows from the river of God, the source is God, into our lives, filling our lives. In the New Testament, Jesus talked about it to the woman of the well. The water I will give you will be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. And then out of you, in you a well, out of you rivers, he says in John chapter 7. Jesus talked about it. It's pictured here in this parable. People saw the vision of it in heaven. That's the water that's going to keep us fresh and faithful to the end. And as Jeremiah found the secret of being connected with the river, of putting out his roots moment by moment and day by day, crisis by crisis, he found that the river was enough. There was enough faithfulness. Even when he was faithless, God's faithfulness through his Spirit would take over. Even when he ran out of patience, God's patience, his life, God is patient. He's long-suffering God. He's a patient God. That would take over. And Jeremiah drew on the Spirit of God for every crisis in his life. And never more than when he was faced with having to say something. And I'm just wondering, as we come to the end of this talk, I'm just wondering if you're facing having to say something to someone. And you're saying, what am I going to do? Where am I going to find the words? How am I going to convince this person that they need the Lord? How am I going to deal with this teenager? Because they're living in a way that is not honoring to God and is deceptive and detrimental to them. Where am I going to find the words? Well, I hope you've got the answer to that as we come to the end of this talk. If your roots are in the river, you'll know what to say. He will give you, I'll put my words in your mouth. You know, this Bible is an incredible thing. Jeremiah says, one of these chapters, his word is like a fire. At one point, he got fed up of being beaten up every time he preached. That was hard. And at one point, he says, I'm not going to do it anymore. I've had enough of this. I can do without it. And then he says, you know, I tried to keep my lips zippered. I tried to keep my mouth shut, but your word was in my heart like a fire, and I couldn't shut up. I couldn't keep it in. It was so burning in me, I had to let it out. And then at another point, he says, your word is my joy, and I can't wait to feed on your word, and it makes me so happy and so healthy and so incredibly content. Incredibly content. And then in another place he says, and your word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And sometimes maybe we have to come to God and our heart is hard and we don't want to do the work that he's given us to do. And we don't want to fulfill the call that we know he has on our lives. And we harden our hearts. Our heart turns away from the Lord. And perhaps we come to be like this little scrub bush. In the heat, in the year of drought, with nowhere to go and brittle and twisting our little branches together and breaking them because we're so brittle. Is that a picture of you? Well, the word of God is like a hammer, and it comes and it hammers the rock in pieces. Now, where are you in this talk? Is God's plan in your life? Do you know him? What's his plan? To know him. Have you ever put your faith in him for your salvation? trusted him. He is trustworthy. The object of your faith is trustworthy, God himself. His plan in your life, his work in your hands. Have you ever found what God wants you to do? Have you ever said, yes, this is why I was created. I'm doing this job. Might be a secular job, but this is what God wants me to do. This is the task he thought about before I was me to know. Or is it words you need? And what you need to say to God is, I need to get into this word and let it happen to me, and then I need to let it happen through me to other people. And I need your words in my mouth. I need your words in my mouth. Well, put your roots in the river, and God will do the rest.
This is Telling the Truth, and you've just heard Jill Briscoe with her message, His Plan in My Life, part of the powerful series, Faith Enough to Finish. Jill's back in a moment to answer some important questions about today's message. We want you to know that when you give to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, you empower listeners, like Stephen, to experience abundant life in Christ. Stephen recently shared with us, I want to tell you how much your messages meant to me while I was in prison. I found a radio station where I heard a sermon by Stuart. A couple of days later, I heard Jill, and then Pete. Wow. The love and knowledge you share and the way you teach the Word of God made me fall in love with Christ. God bless you. And right now, when you give, so more people, like Stephen, can hear Telling the Truth on air and online, we'll say thanks by sending you Jill Briscoe's encouraging book, Faith Enough to Finish. Call now to get your copy of this powerful resource when you give and discover how to trust God with unshakable faith, even during the hardest of times. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now, here's Jill to answer a few questions about today's message. Jill, tell us about a time when the call of God radically altered your life.
Well, the power of God is not a sort of potent that we can keep in a bottle and take a swig of before we go out into our day. The power of God is not for our use. The power of God is wrapped up in the person of God. And he is not in our lives for us to use as we wish. He is in our lives to be Lord and to order our lives according to the God of order. And the power of God comes to us to do his will, to understand his word, to be his servant. That's what the power of God is. The power of God is not to make me feel better, to kiss every hurt better, and to promise me nothing will happen to me. And the power of God isn't there for me to be the magic man and invest that power in somebody else in some dramatic form. The power of God is the person of God, and we're not to tell him what to do. He's to tell us what to do.
What would you say to that person who's struggling through a year of drought?
Well, I think back to hundreds of years ago when I was a teenager and came to Christ at the age of 18 at college. And the radical change then was in my behavior. I remember that I didn't have a very clean mouth. It was second nature for me to swear. And when I came back to college, I found the Lord in hospital. And when I returned to my college, I wasn't thinking consciously about anything, but the Holy Spirit was then in my life. And as I met my friends in the classroom, I remember the first thing that happened, I spilt something all over my books and opened my mouth to swear. And as I began to swear, use those words, the Holy Spirit who now indwelt me, it was just like he tapped me on the inside of my shoulder. Not now, not anymore. It was almost physical. It was a check by the Holy Spirit as unholy things began to come out of my mouth. And so the call of God was for me to be a Jesus follower, a disciple of Jesus. I had no idea at that point what that meant. But I was just told, obey the voice of God. I said, what does that mean? They said, you'll find out. And I began to find out that very day. And it radically altered my life and certainly my speech.
Thanks so much, Jill. One last reminder, We want to send you Jill Briscoe's encouraging book, Faith Enough to Finish, to thank you for giving to help Telling the Truth stay on the air. If you've never taken advantage of this opportunity to give, please prayerfully consider giving a donation today to help more people like you experience life in Christ. Call now to give and get your copy of Faith Enough to Finish. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Tomorrow, Jill Briscoe continues her series, Faith Enough to Finish, and shares how God grows your faith by challenging your comfort. Experience life Wednesday on Telling the Truth.